Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we have quite an exceptional person as a guest today. His name is Gary Tanis Nassif. He is Lebanese, and this man has had a most extraordinary life. And we are going to be not just talking about him, but before we get into chatting with Gary directly, I would love to play just a minute from a portion of his CD, and it is track number 10, and it is called The Song in You. I think it's a great way to start this off. So we're going to listen to this, listen to Gary for just a moment, and when we come back, you're going to find out quite a bit about an extraordinary man. Hi, this is Donna. We're having a little bit of a technical problem getting that piece on, so let me introduce Gary, because he is on the line. Gary Nassif, welcome to the show. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine. We're having a little bit of technical problems. We've had some interesting weather here on the West Coast, so sometimes the equipment gets a little cranky.
Okay. Are we on live?
Yes, we are. We are on live, Gary. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure.
Now, Gary, I have gone through your book, and your story is really quite an exceptional one. And as my engineer is trying, Don is trying to get the music all running properly so that we can play some of your pieces, it was intriguing to me when I started reading your material how you really put everything of yourself in what you wrote. Because this is your memoir, Stop Crying and Listen to the Music, and it is an extraordinary life that you've lived. And with your Lebanese background, your family story, and then how you evolved into being able to play before and perform before thousands of people in Las Vegas and in other places has been really very interesting to find out about. Now, we're ready to play the music, so we're going to play just a little bit from track number 10, and that is The Song in You. I think it's a great way to start off the interview with you, Gary, so we're going to listen to that first. Hi, this is Donna. We're having some problems. The equipment is just not working properly. Gary, let's get into your story.
Yes.
Are you still with me?
Yes, I am.
All right. Gary, when you start off in your book, you talk about how the relationship you had with your father was one that you considered very abusive. He was a very strong man. He was a very dominating man. And he had this presence of personality that, as you were little, started when you were 5 years old, you developed a habit of stuttering.
Yes.
And whenever he really expressed himself, you literally froze. The muscles in your mouth wouldn't work. Your head would go into what you called spastic movements. And he just verbally would bombard you over and over and over again. Well, anyone having an experience of that type at 5 years of age would totally understand how that kind of a patterning would evolve, but it really affected you for so many years of your life, didn't it?
Yes. Yes, it did. It paralyzed me from living. I didn't want to live. It was too painful having to deal with non-communication. And, you know, we are all... we're all equipped to communicate. We need to communicate, but I couldn't. I was barred from that with my stuttering and my fear, low self-esteem, and my father down my throat all the time. It was impossible.
Yet with all of this,
you know,
Gary,
Donna, God prevailed.
Yes, he did, but not only that.
And he would not let me be alone with this problem.
You've got quite an amazing story, and my engineer just let me know that we're going to be able to play your first piece, so I want to do this. Now, when you're listening to this, imagine that this was a man who could not talk comfortably, publicly, with anyone, had such a severe problem with stuttering. I think you're going to want to know more about his story. If you think you've got difficulties, wait until you hear about Gary's and how he overcame it. We're going to go to track number 10, and we're going to play a minute of that, and then we'll come back and chat more with Gary today.
I hear music when I look at you, a beautiful theme of every dream I ever knew. Down deep in my heart, I hear it play. I feel it start, then melt away. I hear music when I touch your hand, a beautiful melody from some enchanted land. Down deep in my heart, I hear it say, is this the day? I alone have heard this lonely strain. I alone have heard this glad refrain. Oh, must it be forever inside of me? Why can't I let it go?
Hey, listening to that, you've had such an amazing life, I think. You have known movie stars that most people only would dream about meeting. You had the pleasure of getting to know all of them. But before that happened, you really had to go through some very trying circumstances. Your mother was very, very supportive of you. Your father was an incredibly powerful, successful man, and you were living. Where did you grow up? What state were you in?
Donna, I lived in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and my father came here as a Lebanese immigrant with his mother, and he was 13 years old, and he had no education. And he couldn't afford a formal education. And I didn't realize this. And that was the main reason he treated me the way his father treated him, without an education. And I could have gone on resenting my father through my whole life. But I decided not to, because I'm a teacher and I'm very well educated. And I've helped a lot of children in my life, in their lives, and to understand why a person reacts to you in a certain way. And I wrote this letter of resentment to my father one day, and the letter became my understanding of him and why he treated me that way. And it moves throughout my whole book, and I find out the reason why he treated me that way. He was not an abuser. He was unfortunately very ignorant and did not know how to raise me. And he thought what he was doing was the best for me when it was the worst for me. And he tried to make me perfect, but didn't know how. So in not knowing how, he confused me, he tormented me, and made me much smaller than I ever could have been. And
you know what?
It was tough.
Yes,
Donna,
it was.
I can't tell you how tough it was.
Well, your words in your book really convey that quite well, but I have to tell you, I really found it fascinating that when you were growing up in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, there was a place called the Palace Theater, and one of your escape mechanisms from the harshness of your father, and your father was quite successful in business. He had a restaurant. Your mother was a phenomenal cook, and boy, politicians, people, movie stars came there. I mean, this is Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and they would come in from all over, even from different parts of the world, because your father was renowned for what he did, and he was given all kinds of awards for his humanitarian and charitable demonstrations. But when you were growing up, with you as the elder son, with you being in the positioning of family structure and with the Lebanese culture and background, and with your not being aware of anything that really he had gone through, you couldn't have been. I mean, it just wasn't possible. But you were so miserable, and he would go into these rages that were just incredible. You escaped to the Palace Theater, and show business was something that was literally in your mental blood. It was a part of you. You wanted to be involved in it. And that was just magic for you. That just gave you a positioning of dreaming that enabled you to even entertain the waitresses in your father's restaurant.
Yes, that's right. That's right. I created my own floor shows when we closed the restaurant. And waitresses and my cooks and the dishwashers all congregated in the dining room. And I put on a Las Vegas-style show for them. And that was part of my dreaming.
Mm-hmm. That was part of your vision. Now, there's a character in your book that I fell in love with. And that was your auntie in Hollywood, California.
Aunt Sadie.
Yes, I fell in love with Sadie. I can tell you she captured my heart.
She was beautiful. Such a dear, dear, fun person.
Well, I especially like the story, and I'm sure many of my listeners can relate to this. You were 17 years old. You're visiting her for the first time. You're away from your family for the first time. You're in glamorous California where the sun shines. And you're right there in a home that's next door to Hollywood. And she knows all kinds of people because she herself has done catering for many of the stars. But you were going to prove to her that you were a magnificent cook. And your mother's recipe for blue cheese dressing and your mother's fried chicken, I'm telling you, I read that story and I was in stitches. You're going to have to share it with my listeners because it was incredible. You're 17 years old.
You know, as sad as my story was, the story is balanced beautifully with hysterically funny stories, things that happened to me along the way. And the story that Donna is referring to is where I was 17 years old. I wanted to make a big impression on Aunt Sadie and her daughter and her daughter's husband. And I told Aunt Sadie, just give me the chicken, and I'll make the most beautiful fried chicken you've ever had in your life, and we'll have it for dinner when your children come over. And Aunt Sadie got the chicken, and she said, are you sure you don't need any help? I said, no, I'm fine. And she said, how long will it take? I said, about an hour. And I was finished frying the chicken in about 15 or 20 minutes. And it was golden brown. And then her daughter came for dinner, and we sat down around the table. And Josephine said, oh, I love this chicken. It looks so beautiful. And she bit into it, and we didn't realize that the chicken was raw. Mm-hmm. It was crispy on the outside, but when she bit down, it was going down the sides of her lips, and we didn't want to tell her because we were too embarrassed. And Josephine said, oh, it's just delicious. Well, anyway, that's part of the story, but it ends up hysterically.
Well, what I liked about it was your aunt's
blue
baby.
Cheese dressing. That was hysterical also. I told Aunt Sadie I knew how to make the blue cheese dressing when I really didn't. But I wanted to make an impression. And she got me all the ingredients. And I saw that the dressing was too thin. And I thought, what can thicken this dressing? I'm going to be in a jam. So I thought the only thickening I could think of is flour. So I put flour in there, and I stirred it and stirred it. And sure enough, it got thicker. And it got too thick. And when Josephine tried to put it on her salad, the spoon wouldn't come out. It was stuck with like cement.
Right.
It was hysterical. Well, not then it wasn't hysterically funny. But
no, for you,
you
it
read
was very
it in the book, and you'll be laughing for days.
Well, what I loved is that your Aunt Sadie, your auntie, was so savvy. She knew she had a 17-year-old, and she had done enough cooking in her life to know that things weren't going to be ready that fast. And she went, and she, while you were in the kitchen doing your stuff, she was frying chicken someplace else, and she replaced your chicken with her chicken, and everybody was quite contented. But, oh, the whole story in there is just marvelous. Now, when you were going back and forth, and I think that what makes your story of Stop Crying and Listen to the Music so significant is that you did go to college. Now, college wasn't always easy for you, and you had a lot of emotional things that you were going through. But you eventually did get your degree in the arts, and also you got a teaching certificate. You still had a big challenge with your stuttering. It just absolutely paralyzed you. And yet within you, you had this dream of performing. Yet your path brought you, as you mentioned earlier, into the environments of working with disabled children. And it came about because of a waitress that worked in the restaurant where you were working. And she asked you to work with these special needs children, and it really helped to transform your life.
It really did. And, you know, I did a book signing back in Cedar Rapids at the big supermarket, and the man who came to observe me teaching that day was the head of special education. And he came back 2 months ago to hear what I've been doing with my life. And I introduced him, and I said, this man changed my life, Gene Yonke. And I'll never forget him, but I'll never forget the children because they needed me, and they erased all of the fear that I had inside with their great humanity and sweetness. And I discovered that I could teach, and my stuttering was non-existent. So I became a teacher, and I became a good teacher too, and I was proud of it, proud of all the children. And so many grown-up children come back and say, we appreciate what you did for us, and I'm grateful. But it's so important never to take no for an answer, because if you think you cannot do it, you can. Believe it. You can. You just have to find a way. And that's what I did in writing my book. I found a way to overcome. And these problems are for overcoming. I have a very dear friend who's an actress, and many of you know her. Her name is Betsy Palmer, and Betsy was on I've Got a Secret years ago. Anyway, Betsy said, when I complained about my struggles, she said, listen, dear, she said, struggles make us stronger. And it's true.
She's right.
It's
I want to play one of your other pieces of music on track number 14. It's Almost Like Being in Love. Now, these are songs that tell a story, and you have this CD that you put together, which is just delightful. So let's go and play a minute of that Almost Like Being in Love, number 14.
What a day this has been. What a rare mood I'm in. Why, it's almost like being in love. There's a smile on my face for the whole human race. Why, it's almost like being in love. All the music of life seems to be like a bell that's ringing for me. And from the way that I feel when that bell starts to peal, I could swear I was falling, tell I was falling. It's almost like being in love.
Almost like being in love. There was so much in your life that you experienced that when I was reading your story, Gary, I thought, for each of us, life has various paths that we go through. And it was very moving to me when I found out about your going to Lebanon. This was after your dad died. He died of a massive heart attack. And
yes.
You decided that you needed to go to Lebanon. You were working as a teacher. You were still very much wanting to be in the show business. But there was something that was calling to you where you had to find out more about your father. It was as if you needed to have some answers to questions. And so you ended up taking a trip to Lebanon. And, of course, this was before the bombing and the horrific things that have evolved over there evolved. But you were in Beirut, and Beirut was called the Paris of the Middle East. And it was just known for all of its phenomenal multicultural mixture and beauty and art and everything else. And you had some pretty profound experiences on that trip, didn't you?
Absolutely, I did. Just marvelous.
And what
I went to his village to see where he came from. And it was, he came from a very poor village and a very modest home. And it was beautiful, though. Everything was beautiful. And the people were sweet. And the crops that they planted and harvested were the most beautiful I've ever seen in my life. And they made me feel at home. And I realized that my father had no options when he came to America, only to use his hard work to create what he finally created. And he was awarded the Gold Medal of Honor from the Lebanese government for meritorious work in his former country. He became very, very successful, and everybody looked up to him except me. But at the end of my book, I realized what he was trying to do without the advantage of education. And education is so important to our country, to ourselves, to the people we live with. It's so very important.
And you had a fabulous story. You've got a number of very fine stories, but one that really grabbed me was the one about an elderly mother superior that you met in Damascus who gave you some vials of holy water, and these were her words. She said, "Please take these with you to America. Treasure them. They hold miraculous healing powers. Share them with those who suffer from catastrophic maladies. With the holy oil and faith, expect a miracle." And these were given to you as a gift by this lady, and you actually used them to help people. I don't know if you've used up all of them at this time, but it actually, the miracles occurred with the people that you gave the holy water to.
Yes. Donna, it was holy oil, and it had been blessed at the convent of the Virgin Mary just outside of Damascus, and the Mother Superior was truly a beautiful angelic lady, and the sweetness that dripped from her eyes, I wish I could explain to you how beautiful she was. But that oil, I gave it to so many people who were sick or who were at death's door, and I said, this oil will not heal you, but your faith will heal you. And use the oil, and with your faith, you will be healed. And every person was healed. Everyone.
Now, in the course of your life experience, you went through so many wonderful, wonderful happenings. You became involved in the arts. You incorporated art and music into just about everything you did. And there was a woman that came into your life by the name of Sybil Brand. And you called her...
Oh, I love Sybil.
Yeah, that she was a fairy godmother to you.
She was.
And you were singing.
She was. And are we being heard in Los Angeles?
Oh, you're being heard everywhere.
Well, I'll tell you. Sybil was Miss California to a lot of people. And when I went to her birthday parties at the Beverly Wilshire in the ballroom, it was filled with the golden age of Hollywood movie stars who came to honor her. And she was a big woman, but she never missed any of my performances in Hollywood or Beverly Hills. Never. She would always come with Cesar Romero or this star or that star or this president of this corporation or that. And she always put me way up on a pedestal. And I'll never forget Sybil. Sybil was my fairy godmother.
And
she really was.
You had very strong interactions with Danny Thomas, but your artwork, you really ended up doing some spectacular artwork. One of the art structures was the bronze sculpture, clay sculpture, pre-bronze clay sculpture that you've got here, called the Jeremiah Children, and it was dedicated to the St. Jude Children's Research Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee. And Danny Thomas was very much in your life at different times. Of course, he was Lebanese himself. But your life took you into a fascinating, fascinating patterning of experience, and to have had the opportunity to cross paths with so many of the rich and the famous, and to finally end up on stage performing before 4,000 people in the Shriners Auditorium, performing at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. I mean, this is something, your dreams finally were fulfilled, and I think that's what your book really shows, is how important it is to really stay true to the dream. Now, Gary, before we close out, I'd like to know, what is a website that people can go to find out more about you and your music?
They can type in www.gary, G-A-R-Y, middle name Tanis, T T like Tom, A-N-N like Nancy, U-S like Sam, last name Nassif, NASSIF.com. And they can find out how to get the book and how to get the CD. And I'd like to add something, Donna, that's so important. My CD was recorded with someone who discovered me, and he was Frank Sinatra's pianist conductor, Vincent Falcone. And Vincent has chosen to work with me. And I am so honored. So when they get the CD, they'll hear all those gorgeous old songs, and Vincent is playing for me.
And you're still doing your artwork, and there are, again, your book is just loaded with all of these stories and your experiences and happenings. And go to Gary's website. I think that you will find his story interesting. It's Gary Tannis, T-A-N-N-U-S-N-A-S-S-I-F. That's N like Nelly, N-A-S-S-I-F.com. His book is titled Stop Crying and Listen to the Music, and his CD is Sing, Romance Man, Sing. You'll find that he's going to thank so many people, famous people, that if you're of the older generation, you'll resonate with all of the names. If you're of the younger generation, you'll learn about things that created a magic in Hollywood that has not been equaled, to the best of my awareness, and it is truly just fascinating story. Gary, I want to thank you for being my guest today, and thank you for spending the time, and I wish you continued success in everything that you do.
Donna, I thank you more than I can tell you, and I want to thank everyone listening, and I want them to know that if I could shake your hand wherever you are and tell you that you are the star of your life. That's what I want you to know. You are the star in your life. Make your dreams happen.
Thank you, Gary. Your story really is an inspiring one. This is
you
Donna Sebo.
So
we're going to take a break. We'll play one of his last songs that is on track number 16. We'll play that as we go out. And again, Gary, thank you so much for being my guest. Go to GaryTannisNassif.com and find out more. We'll be back in just a moment.
What a difference a day made. 24 little hours, about the sun and the flowers, where there used to be rain. My yesterdays were blue, dear. Now they're a part of you, dear. My lonely nights are through, dear, since you said you'd be mine. What a difference a day made. There's a rainbow before me. Skies above won't be stormy. Since that moment of bliss, your thrilling kiss, it's heaven when you find romance on your menu. What a difference a day made. And the difference is...
Tickets now on sale for the 2012 Conscious Life Expo, February 10th through the 13th at the LAX Hilton. Bringing together an eclectic community of speakers, panelists, exhibitors, artists, and visionaries for a four-day gathering of collective consciousness featuring over 150 workshops, special events, including TV British psychic Lisa Williams and visionary scientist and author Greg Braden, as well as the film festival, live music, Programa Latino, and three exhibit halls packed with healthy products and services. For ticket information, www.consciouslifeexpo.com.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedros accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny. They will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural, and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Well, our telephone lines are now open, and if you want to give me a buzz, I'd be delighted to light up your life at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And if you're a first-time listener, all I need from you is your first name or your initial. And after that, then just relax and let me tell you what I perceive, and then you're welcome to ask me about anything that you're interested in getting information on. So, 888-627-6008. When I have the opportunity to review material like I did with Gary Nassif, and you find out that a person's journey in life has taken them through so many twists and turns, and you go and you're reading about the time of tears and pain and agony and confusion and frustration, and then you read about their incredible experiences crossing paths with people that influence them, individuals that are supportive of them, and how this person had to grow through what they grow through. It makes you aware that each and every one of us is very unique, but in some respects, we often share a great deal, and we share those happenings that are dealt with, each of us, in our own way. And I think when you can find out about successful people and some of the pain and suffering that they've gone through, it makes you realize, like Gary left us with at the end of the interview, the understanding that we need to recognize that we have that special magic inside of ourselves. And no matter where we are, what we're doing, we are significant. And it is important to like ourselves, to be able to love and appreciate the talents that we've been endowed with, and realize that a lot of our experiences are there to temper us. How are we going to work with them? How are we going to use them so that we become empowered as people instead of disempowered? I really think it's so special and so wonderful, and I'm so delighted that he was able to be with us. Tomorrow we're going to have a fascinating man, Michael Carrier, Innovation for the 21st Century. Now, Michael is a professor of law at Rutgers University, and he's going to be talking about copyrights, patents, and how laws are going to be changed. In America, we've always been known for our innovation, but sometimes things get stuck. Sometimes we have too many laws. Sometimes, because of technological shifts and changes, the old way of doing things is no longer sufficient, so we have to change. And I think that that's something that we're looking at right now. It's as if we're coming up and out of the dark ages in so many ways relative to understanding about the shifts and changes that are so important to us on an economic basis, if we're in business, and other things as well. So it takes a different type of thinking. And this gentleman is going to be sharing some of those ideas. And then, how do you get financing? Get financing now? You bet you can. Charles Green is going to be my guest on Friday, and we're going to be talking about that subject specifically. And then, after Charles, we'll be talking with Cliff Fazzolari. Now, Cliff was a guest on my show a few years back. He wrote a wonderful book, and then he's come out with another one about his brother. And his brother's name was Jeff. And Cliff has some really interesting stories to tell about his brother, Jeff. He's won a number of awards on this book, and I think that you'll enjoy them as well. So we've got a power-packed week yet to enjoy, and I hope that you and your friends will join me. Now, don't forget, you can give me a call at 888-627-6008. I believe that there's magic in life, and the magic isn't being pulled out of a hat by a magician. It's the magic of synchronicity. It's the magic of faith and the magic of the unexpected that comes your way. And there is a physician. His name is Chuck. And he had a lesson that he had to learn when he was a young surgeon, and I thought I would share it with you today. He said the biggest one that came his way when he was a young doctor outside of the operating room was in the dead of winter. And for us that are living in the northern areas, we know what those winter months can be like and how you can get snow and vicious storms. And it often can produce circumstances that may not be exactly comfortable. Well, at the time, as a young surgeon, he was practicing at a small hospital in Manchester, Iowa. And it was about 19 miles west of his home, which happened to be in Dyersville. And he said it was, well, normally a half-hour drive. And he said it was a two-lane country road, no big deal. And he had a surgery that was scheduled at 7:30 on this particular morning. The patient was a young boy. The surgery didn't bother him, but the weather reports were bothering him. And before he went to sleep the night before doing the surgery, he said snow was already coming down, and the roads were almost completely white. Now, he had thoughts in his head, well, I'm anticipating I'm going to be able to get to the hospital in the morning. So he decided he was going to get up extra early, because when you have those kind of weather challenges, well, you've got to be prepared. And he was. Sure enough, he gets up early, looks out the window. The snow was not coming down as heavily as it had been when he had gone to bed. And he said, oh, good, I'm going to be able to make my drive in. Half hour, 45 minutes, no big deal. So he got dressed, got his items, gets in the car. Bingo. He said the road was icy. He knew that that was going to be the case. He said, but he'd managed. It was not a problem. But halfway to the hospital, the tires, well, they were slipping and sliding. And if you've ever had an experience like that, you know what it is. You have absolutely no control over your vehicle. He was trying to steer. The car slid right off the road. And he said, lo and behold, he found that he had ended up sliding into this massive snowbank. Well, it shook him up pretty badly. He wasn't hurt. He got out of the car, and of course it's freezing. He said the temperature was below zero, and the light snowfall that had been in place at the time he was getting ready to leave his house, well, by the time his car slid off the road, it was a full-scale blizzard. He said he couldn't see anything. There were no cars coming in either direction. He was out early in the morning. He thought it was a lost situation. And being a physician, all kinds of information is, you know, going through his brain. He's going to get hypothermia. He said he became terrified. Well, he said it was a moment where he just said, hey, God, if you're there, I need some help. I'm in deep trouble. And a few moments later, he saw headlights, and there was a four-wheel drive Scout. He recognized the type of vehicle, and he started waving his arms frantically for people to stop. And inside the vehicle was an elderly couple, and the man asked, do you need a ride? Of course, the guy's car was almost totally covered by snow, and he said yes. And the wife said, here, let me give you a cup of coffee to warm you up. You're going to be freezing, so come on in, join us. And she gave him a hot cup of coffee. And he was very grateful, and he climbed into the back seat of their vehicle. And the woman asked him, what are you doing on the road in this kind of weather? And he said, I'm a doctor, and I'm headed to the hospital in Manchester. And they said, oh, my goodness, so are we. Our grandson is having surgery today. Maybe you know the surgeon's name. His name is Dr. Millay. That's right. Fascinating story. Dr. Millay rescued by the grandparents of the child he was to operate on that morning. Coincidence? I don't know. It's a good story, and it's a true one. Donna Sebo here. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it. Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are open. Call me at 888-627-6008, and I'll give you some insight intuitively. So give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. And quickly, for those of you that are in Western Washington that are listening, my class is coming up on Saturday, Quantum Mind 2. If you would like to be a part of that class, we have a few spaces still open. We have to limit the class's size to 25. So if you will come on in, and just give me a call, 253-582-5604. It's on Saturday. The weather's going to be decent. We're not going to be snowed out or rained out or blown out here in the Pacific Northwest. So it's a great way to spend the day, get out of the gray Seattle sunshine, and have a wonderful time. Robert Newman is going to be presenting the first part of the class. It's going to be on feng shui, prosperity, and empowering you as a person. And then in the second half of the class, I will be teaching intuitive development, and you are going to actually see your own talents and capabilities shine in a blindfold experiment. So we're going to be able to demonstrate that. Lunch will be served. The hours for the class, 10 a.m. until 4. It is wonderful, and you'll enjoy the people, too. So give me a call so we can get that reservation in. Otherwise, if you show up at the door, it's going to cost you more money. So the cost is $59.95. Give me a buzz, Donna, at 253-582-5604. Well, we've got two more signs left in the zodiac, and I wanted to be sure to finish that off today. We have covered every sign in the Chinese New Year zodiac, but tiger and rabbit. So let's finish up the two signs. Now, for those of you that were born under the sign of the tiger, you had to have been born in the years 1926, 38, 50, 62, 74, 86, 98, or 2010. What the tiger represents in this year of 2012 is that you're a person that really pushes yourself hard to succeed. You're sort of like the guest that I had today, Gary. You're going to continue to pursue what it is that means the most to you because you're determined to succeed. and you are competitive. This is something that drives you when other people would just give up and go away, not you, and you are outgoing. You're full of life. Now, you are automatically ambitious by nature, but you're going to sort of slow down and really evaluate what's most important to you this year. And you are going to find that you want to give yourself more time to be able to be free of pressures and responsibilities. You're going to take more breaks this year so that you can get a clear vision of what you want to have in your life. And I think this is a year when you're going to want to do a makeover, where you might suddenly decide that you want to shift in the middle of whatever you're doing into something entirely new and unique, and it'll be good timing for you because you're really taking time to think things through. So Leonardo DiCaprio is one of the people born under the sign of the tiger, Robert Pattinson, Penelope Cruz, and others. Now let's finish up with the rabbit, the sign of the rabbit. If you were born in 1927, 39, 51, 63, 75, 87, 99, or 2011, well, that was your year. And the sign of the rabbit, it has as its patterns a very gentle nature. You are a person that's so sensitive to everything. You're thoughtful, you're caring, and you really have diplomatic talents and abilities that enable you to be tactful and just about any and every situation. You make a great mediator. And those that you love, they have your undying support. You are loyal to a fault. And this year, you are going to find that love seems to rule the environment that you're in. And you know what? Because this is the year of the dragon, this is a powerful year. You are going to find that your whole demeanor about life and the relationships that you have in it are going to become more empowered. And when it comes to doing business, maybe you've been out of work, maybe you're doing something you really don't like and you want to move on to something else, you'll be able to do it. You know what? This is a year when you can find out about your creative freedom. Well, my goodness, we're almost out of time here. This is Donna Sebo. That completes the Chinese horoscope for this Year of the Dragon, 2012. And it's just fascinating how every culture has different modalities that they work with. And the Chinese, well, they have had theirs for thousands of years, and it's always fun to share those different perspectives. I know that we are just about out of time, but I wanted to just make mention about something that came across my desk. It said, if you're trying to figure out if something's a good deal because we're all concerned about money, remember, you just need to pay attention to the facts. Don't let your emotions rule. And when you are looking at things that people are saying, boy, this is such a deal, blah, 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 take time, get out a calculator, really think about what it is that you're doing. Don't let somebody else influence you. Think through what you need to do because, you know, this is a year where prosperity is going to smile on you if you're willing to let it. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Like my guest today, Gary Nassif, said, don't forget, you're the star of your life. And whatever dreams you have, remember they're your dreams. And you, just like he, can achieve what you really want. And it just may come sometimes costumed in a way you would never have expected. So be prepared, be ready for opportunity when it knocks at your door. Because when it knocks, you need to be ready to open that door so that you can welcome it in. This is Donna Sebo. Talk with you manana, same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.